I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hello, friend, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. I'm so glad you've joined me today. The Voice of Hope is a weekly program of Bible exposition designed to build up your hope in God and in His Word. So let the choir strengthen your hope as they sing, I know that my Redeemer lives.
I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand.
Again shall stand.
I know eternal life He giveth,
that grace and power,
that grace and power are in His hand.
I know, I know,
I know, I know that Jesus lives.
Thank you, Altar of Praise Chorale. What a tremendous blessing to have that assurance, Jesus lives. My friend, the program you're listening to is only one of the many Bible teaching programs produced by Heralds of Hope. We are an international gospel radio and literature ministry, broadcasting the good news to millions around the world in 14 different languages. Some of these broadcasts air on a daily schedule, others only once a week. But all of them are touching lives with hope. Here's a testimony from a listener to our Amharic language programs in the East African country of Ethiopia. He writes, I have received Jesus as my Savior in 2007, and I started to listen to your radio program that very week after I got the information from a friend. During those days, when I was spiritually a child, your program was my only teacher. It greatly encouraged me to stand firm. Otherwise, I would have gone back to my previous lifestyle. Still today, I am your regular listener, and as a result, I have learned many spiritual matters from your radio program. I want to tell you that I will stand by you in every way I can to enable you to continue this prized radio program. Thank you. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? Those of you who are listening to this broadcast, who pray for Heralds of Hope and support the ministry financially, you are really the ones who are receiving the thanks of this listener. It's your prayers and your gifts that enable us to keep extending the invitation to salvation to so many listeners around the world. God bless you for your partnership with us. Now in just a few minutes, we'll be opening God's Word for a time of study together. But before we do that, here's the choir to lead us in a song of petition.
Great God, indulge my humble plea.
Many years ago in St. Louis, a lawyer visited a Christian to transact some business. Before the two parted, his client said to him, "I have often wanted to ask you a question, but I've been afraid to do so." "What do you want to know?" asked the lawyer. The man replied, "Well, I've wondered why you're not a follower of Christ." The man hung his head. He said, "I know enough about the Bible to realize that it says no drunkard can enter the kingdom of God, and you know my weakness." "You're avoiding my questions," the believer said. "Well, truthfully, I can't recall anyone ever explaining how to become a follower of Christ." Picking up a Bible, the client read some passages from the scripture, showing that all of us are under condemnation, but that Christ came to save the lost by dying on the cross for their sins. He went on to say, "By receiving him as your substitute and redeemer, you can be forgiven. If you're willing to receive Jesus as your Savior, let's pray together." The lawyer agreed, and when it was his turn to pray, he said, "O Jesus, I am a slave to drink. One of your servants has shown me how to be saved. O God, forgive my sins and help me overcome the power of this terrible habit in my life." And right there, he was converted. That lawyer was C.I. Schofield, who later edited the reference Bible that today bears his name. You see, one man's concern for his soul had made a difference, an eternal difference. Now, as you reflect on that illustration, I want to ask you a question that may sound a bit strange to you. Do you have beautiful feet? Not sure? Then listen carefully as I read Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 17. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." This text shows us how to have beautiful feet, and also three important characteristics of those who have beautiful feet. The first characteristic is they understand the universal invitation. The statement in verse 13 is, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." It presupposes our understanding that all the world of mankind is lost. The word "save" means to make whole or to preserve or protect. Now, obviously, you can't make something whole unless part of it is missing. The human condition of lostness affects all mankind everywhere. There are no people anywhere on the face of the earth who are not, as it were, infected with the disease of sin. And that disease is fatal. It leads to death. So the diagnosis is the same for all men. And therefore, the divine prescription is the same. The only prescription that can reverse that fatal disease is salvation through faith in Jesus' blood. The word "whosoever" means exactly what you would think. It literally means anyone and everyone. No one is beyond the reach of God's grace. The moral man who lives in your community, perhaps he even sits next to you in church, and he looks like he has it all together. And then the homeless drug addict who sleeps in some shadowy doorway in some alley. They both need the Lord. Do you and I understand that God has no hands but our hands and no feet but our feet? Do you and I reach out because we're convinced that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? With repentance comes forgiveness of sin and eternal life. With forgiveness comes the possibility of beginning a new life. With forgiveness, you discover God's promise to give beauty for ashes and the oil of joy in the place of mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, that those to whom you minister might become trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he will be glorified. That's Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3. Is that your desire for everyone? The invitation is universal. None are excluded. If you want to be among those who have beautiful feet, you must understand the universal invitation. The next characteristic of those with beautiful feet is they understand the essential proclamation. So now the question must be raised, how will this invitation be carried to all mankind? Dr. George Sweeting tells of a man by the name of John Currier who in 1949 was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison. Later, he was transferred and paroled to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. In 1968, Currier's sentence was terminated and a letter carrying the good news was sent to him. But John never saw that letter, and no one told him anything about it. Life on the farm was hard and without promise for much of a future, and yet John kept doing what he was told, even after the farmer for whom he worked had died. 10 more years went by, and then a state parole officer learned about Currier's plight. He found him and told him that his sentence had been terminated. He was a free man. Dr. Sweeting concluded the story by asking, "Would it matter to you if someone sent you an important message, the most important in your life?" And year after year, that urgent message was not delivered. You know, we who have heard the good news and experienced freedom through Christ are responsible to proclaim it to others who are still enslaved by their sin. Are we doing all we can to make sure that people get the message? For whatever reasons, and some of them we know, millions of people the world over have been given an invitation that has never been delivered. They can't respond to the invitation with a yes or a no, because they don't even know that the invitation exists. So now, in our text, Paul raises a series of questions. Let's look at them in verses 14 and 15. His first question is, how will they call? The word call means to cry aloud. The scriptures make a distinction between a prayer and a cry. Prayer can be silent and effective, but a cry is audible and it demonstrates a desperate need. A cry makes us vulnerable. It shows our helplessness, our weakness. It leaves us open to being exploited or ridiculed or rejected. And so Paul asks, will people cry out to someone they know nothing about? Will they confide in someone whom they don't even know? Would you do that? Of course not. When you have something that really burdens you down, you share it only with a trusted friend. When you reach out to those in need, you begin to build a relationship of trust. You know, that's something that many people today have never experienced. And then Paul goes on to ask, how will they believe? How will they come to trust in one they've never even heard of? More and more in our day, young people are growing up with no knowledge of Jesus. My daughter helps teach a weekly Bible class in a local public school, and she encountered a student who had never heard the real meaning of Christmas. And several of us participate in a weekly Bible study for female juvenile offenders. When we showed the part of the Jesus film that deals with the crucifixion and the resurrection, some of the girls had no clue what was happening. They had no frame of reference to make sense of those events. The Bible has been removed from the classroom in our schools. Television programs regularly portray believers as bumbling idiots or worse, and children are taught that they are simply animals of whom little is expected. You know, you and I may be the last chance they'll have to see a living demonstration of Jesus' love for them. How will they believe? And then Paul asks, how will they hear? How can you respond to something or someone who to you is non-existent? Someone must take the message to them, or they will perish in their sin. How will they hear without a messenger? By the way, Paul uses the word preacher, but the word in the original language is not the word that's used for pastor or elder. It literally means a herald or a public crier, one who carries a message. That's the responsibility of every one of us who is a follower of Jesus. Paul further asks, how will they be sent? I meet many young people who are willing to be sent. Not sent to some exotic place in some foreign country, but committed to serve right at home. Yes, there are those who need to be sent to faraway places, but many are needed to serve at home, too. And I commend the parents who are serving alongside their children. You are showing them by your example what is really important in life. If we want our children to gain a vision for missions and a heart of compassion for the lost, they must see those same things in us and in our lifestyle choices. And then, retired people who are active in ministry, I commend you too. You bring a lifetime of experience and skills to bless the lives of those who are in need. You demonstrate godly wisdom by rejecting the focus on pleasure and seeking first the kingdom of God. As you work alongside younger people, you communicate the gospel and you demonstrate God's plan for healthy intergenerational relationships. You know, Jesus commissioned his disciples in Matthew chapter 28. But that commission just wasn't for them. It's for you and me, too. Jesus said, as you are going, as you are baptizing, as you are teaching, make disciples of all peoples, teaching them to observe the all things I have commanded you. You see, the imperative in Jesus' commission is make disciples. That's the essential proclamation. How will they call? How will they believe? How will they hear? And how will they be sent? And so, if you have beautiful feet, you understand the universal invitation. And you follow the steps outlined in the essential proclamation. And that leads us to the final characteristic. Those with beautiful feet understand the individual consecration. Now, this individual consecration becomes evident in the lives who go with the gospel and the lives of those who are reached by the gospel. There's nothing like seeing the truths of Scripture being fleshed out in the lives of those you're ministering to. That really reinforces your own beliefs. I don't know about you, but I find it exciting to see people discovering truth in the Scripture, answering their questions, and helping them make application of that truth in their lives. I'm sure some of you have had that joy too. Now, I know, not everyone we try to help will receive that help. There are some, like those in Jesus' day, who are interested only in the loaves and fish. When we get down to teaching them what God expects of them in their new relationship with Him, they're not interested. I personally know the disappointment of working with someone who one day just walks away. It seems like I've wasted my time and effort, and it hurts. When that happens, you and I can agonize about what we did wrong, and we can go round and round with the thought, if only I had done this or that differently. Now certainly, if we've made mistakes, we should learn from them. And if we've offended the person, we should make it right. But if our conscience is clear, we cannot allow Satan to continually accuse us because someone refused to follow the truth. And we'll keep right on sharing the message. Now notice what Paul says here in verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith refers to belief or moral conviction. Moral conviction is based on the word of God. The settled belief that what God says is true, and I can count on it, even if it means losing my life. Now I know that's not a popular concept in our culture today, but unless we have that settled conviction, we have nothing to offer those who are lost in sin and despair. And it's that conviction that enables us to continue sharing the message even when it's rejected. So, if the universal invitation is understood, if the essential proclamation is carried out, then it will result in the individual consecration. There's no way it can be otherwise. That's the nature of God's Word. What about you, my friend? Do you really believe the invitation is universal? Do your lifestyle choices validate your belief? Do you believe the proclamation is essential, that it must be done by all believers? Have you consecrated yourself individually? Are you willing to say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do? Let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, search my heart and the heart of my listening friend just now. Show us whether or not we truly have beautiful feet as they're described in this portion of your word. Stir our hearts afresh with the lostness of millions who've never even heard the name of Jesus. And then motivate us to consecrate ourselves afresh to be your messengers of life to those dying in their sins. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty.
Thank you, choir. My friend, were you blessed by this teaching? If so, I praise God. And if you'd like to review this teaching or share it with a friend, it's available to you either in print or on an audio CD. Just ask for the teaching by its title, Beautiful Feet. You may request this teaching by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or you may mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a copy of the teaching titled Beautiful Feet in print or on an audio CD. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to the program at your convenience. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. And if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at www.heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number 1-866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. And until we meet again, remember to let your light shine for Jesus.
Dark the night of sin has settled.